Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Your host, Stephen Glover. So glad you're able to join me today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his favor fall upon us as we discuss today a topic that is so very important. Many do not understand that evangelism should consist of not only sharing the gospel, not only people being saved, but it should also consist of people forming and developing new churches. So we're going to look at that topic today that, according to Scripture, church planting expands the kingdom of God, meaning more people come to know Jesus Christ as churches are started. So let's begin by praying together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Acts that reveals the people in the Bible having heard the gospel at Pentecost, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, starting to the church. We pray, God, that we will be just as obedient to the Great Commission, and we will be just so obedient to going out and planting to work. So, Lord, I pray that those who have ears to hear, pastors, church members, laymen, that they will understand what the Word teaches about advancing your kingdom. And we pray, God, that new churches will be started. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to begin by looking at, in Scripture, churches that were started from people who preached the gospel. When you think about in Acts chapter 2, there in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came, and you had the people in the upper room, when the Spirit of God came upon them, Peter having preached or would preach, 3,000 souls would get saved, and the first thing they started to do was to break bread, fellowship together, and to be unified in the name of Jesus Christ, where a new church or a new work began. So, having just returned a few minutes ago from doing outreaches, from doing evangelism, and talking to people about Jesus Christ, majority of the people, not everyone, majority of the people wanted to know where I went to church because they were not members of any particular church. And one of the things about sharing the gospel and starting new churches that as we look and we'll look there in the book of Acts with Peter and with Paul and with Lydia and the churches that started in Philippi or Ephesus or Church of Jerusalem, that it began from somebody sharing the gospel and then people hearing and believing, repenting of their sins, turning away from them, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and were saved. And then from that, new work, Bible study, fellowshipping, breaking of bread, meeting together regularly, new churches were started. And when I was talking to people who listened, people who would hear the Word of God, they wanted to know where I went to church. And I could only tell them that I went to a church on the other side of town because where we were, people did not have cars, or some of them didn't have cars. They were walking or riding the bus. And that is one of the reasons why it's important that we start new churches. I am in the process of considering, would like to start a new work on this particular area, by the town where I live, so people would know where I am to hear the word of God. Because sadly, many of the churches are not preaching the gospel, and sadly, I don't feel I could recommend many churches here in Toledo, Ohio, to say, go, and I know you will be disciples, as the Great Commission says, to make disciples. Well, guess who makes disciples? It's the local church. In a book that was written by Jerry Falwell, Jr., and he talked about the Great Commission is called Innovate Church, and he talked about the Great Commission, and he talked about church planting. He goes on to express the importance of starting church because the discipleship that takes place, it occurs in the local church. And let me read a quote from the Great Commission heading. It's called The Great Commission is Church Planting. He said, every time we start a new church in a new community, we are being a part of the answer to that prayer. Every time a new church reaches the person for Christ, a new citizen has been added to the kingdom of heaven. And he says, I fear that there are too many pastors in our nation that have allowed a passion for church growth to supersede a passion for the kingdom of God. He would say, it is refreshing to know how however, that there are many pastors and church leaders that are more excited about building kingdom, God's kingdom than building their own kingdom. So you have two different camps. You have people or pastors or ministers that are interested in building God's kingdom, meaning that they're not concerned about building their own church, but they're concerned about building God's kingdom, because when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they become members of the universal body of Christ. But there are some members, there are some pastors who are concerned about only growing their church. And so you've got two separate types of people. Man's kingdom, God's kingdom. So the emphasis that we want to look at today is building God's kingdom. We know that Jesus, after resurrecting from the dead, Jesus issued the Great Commission to his followers, and he did this five separate times. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Many of you are familiar with that in Matthew chapter 28. He said in Matthew 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. People are saved from the preaching of the Bible, preaching of Scripture, preaching and teaching of the word of God. And he says that he who believes and has been baptized shall be saved. So we know that salvation comes from hearing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Luke chapter 24, and this you don't want to go too far into this, but the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples that they were to greet repentance for the forgiveness of sin, and in his name, and he's going to proclaim the gospel to all the nations. And he clearly tells them in Luke chapter 24 to go out and preach repentance in his name, because only through Jesus Christ can you be saved. And what the Bible means by that is that Jesus, this is what I just shared with a multitude of people today in the rain, in the hot sun, is that it's only through Christ can a man be saved. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which man is saved. Scripture is very clear about that, because in order to become a child of God, the Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So having just shared the gospel with a gentleman who went to Catholic school, but yet never believed, had questions, knew about eternity, but refused to acknowledge that there is a possibility that if you die, you would die without Christ. So, well, the thing was is that having heard, having considered having reason with this man. I pray and hope that he will consider his ways and recognize that today is the day of salvation. But Jesus, having resurrected from the dead, issued the Great Commission to his followers 5 separate times. And then he expected the church, after his ascension into heaven, to carry out his mission. Because he understood that new bodies of Christ, which formulate as a result of evangelizing the culture, preaching the gospel, baptizing believers, and training disciples. Because God desires for his kingdom to increase, but the way that it increases is through church planting. It's starting new work. You see that, and I mentioned the Jerusalem church. It goes to Acts chapter 16, the Philippian church, there with Lydia, Paul preaching. We see that Paul was preaching, and he was ministering to a woman who was a seller of purple. And we know that the Thyatira church, the Philippian church, the Philippian jailer, in Acts chapter 16, is where that church began, but the church in Thyatira, there with Paul preaching, and this woman getting baptized, and she says that, and when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So we know that a church began there. We know that Paul preached in Thessalonica. We know that a church began there. How do we know that? If you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, we know that churches were started in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira. And we just mentioned there in Thyatira where Lydia met. We know the church started in Sardis. Church started in Laodicea. And so these are just church started in Philadelphia. So we know that there was a letter that was written to the church in Philippi, Philippians. There in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer. So Paul and Silas and the church is beginning there from the preaching of the gospel. And this is the reason why it's so very important that we start new works, because new works are crucial, because people, new works are more evangelistic than established churches, because established churches are always concerned about maintaining their membership, not plateauing and then declining, but maintaining and starting continue to grow in their own building. But church planters are called, or the modern day apostles, pretty much what Ephesians talks about. Ephesians chapter 4, how the Bible says he's given some apostles, some prophets, some teachers. Well, in order to be apostle, you had to have seen the resurrection of Christ. And we know that the disciples and Paul, or what Saul, saw Christ and him being resurrected, his resurrection on the Damascus Road, or the Emmaus Road, or Damascus Road. But we know that Paul was an apostle. Paul was a church planter, and a modern day apostle is one who can go to where the gospel has not been preached and start a new work. That is the modern day apostle, one who has the gift in this, starts new work. And that is a modern day apostle. And so therefore, it's important that people who are called, who are gifted, who have that ability. And let me tell you, as a church planter, or former church planter and church planter strategist, that is one of the most difficult ministries there is. Not belittling the office of a pastor, but to start a work, knowing that Jesus said that the kingdom set of Peter upon his rock, on his profession, he said, "I will build my church." And he said that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. He did not say that there would not be opposition. He did not say that it would not be difficult. but he said it would not prevail against it. And throughout history, we've seen the rise and the fall of churches. But yet, the universal church, the local church, may not be eternal because buildings collapse and church splits and church fights and, you know, pastors leave and churches close. But the universal church that may comprise the believers will not be destroyed. And that's what Jesus meant, that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Meaning that God's universal eternal church, believers who, when you are saved, if you are baptized into Christ, not water baptism, but spiritual baptism, that you are part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the body. So he wasn't talking about the Pope being the head of the church. Christ is the church, not a man-made church like in Catholicism, not one that's based on rituals and traditions and doctrines and teachings of men. I'm talking about one that is founded based on the eternal rock of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned, church planting is very difficult because there's so much opposition when you talk about penetrating darkness, evangelism. We know that that is one of the things that Satan holds the greatest. He loves darkness. He loves men who walk in darkness. And an evangelistic new church will penetrate the darkness through the light of the gospel of Christ. Satan hates church planters. Satan hates church planting. Satan hates the preaching of the gospel. Satan hates evangelism because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And as mentioned in Romans chapter 10, how can they hear? How can they believe? How can they come to know Jesus Christ unless someone is sent? As the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the Bible says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. Clearly, the Bible talks about what we're growing. And clearly, the result of those preaching the gospel are church men. Now, the thing is that God, even in the Old Testament, God intended for his name to be proclaimed and demonstrate the kingdom so that his kingdom would spread to every people group on the earth. So, even in the Old Testament, the people were called to proclaim the kingdom of God and become part of God's body. He desired for all the nations to glorify him as eternal king. So the heart of God for kingdom expansion is the foundation of planting churches. And it's through the creation or planting of churches that God's kingdom is extended to the community, which have not been touched by the precious surprise of the presence of the kingdom of God in their midst. So every time a church reaches the person for Christ, a new citizen is added to the kingdom of heaven. And really, that's how churches are started. The kingdom added to the kingdom, but also added to a local assembly where churches are begun. And it's interesting that having today just spoken with a Jehovah's Witness who would not take a gospel tract because, of course, they don't take tracts, they don't participate. Jesus didn't participate in the government, so therefore they don't participate in the government. A lot of things that Jesus didn't do, they don't do, even though the Bible, clearly in Romans chapter 13, tells us about our role and under the authority of the government. But here, Jehovah's Witness use church as the model. The modern church that I ask her how to get to heaven over and over again, and all she can tell me is through knowledge. And so a lot of cults have secret knowledge that can only be attained through can only be heard through their particular organization. So I asked her over and over, how do you get to heaven? And so I got a lot of rhetoric about good works. And so by her emphasis was on quoting James about works, demonstrating works. But I tried to explain to her that salvation does not come with works. Quoted John chapter 5, where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him since shall not come under condemnation, but have eternal life and shall pass death." So clearly, Jesus teaches that belief, faith, by faith we're saved, by grace we're saved through faith, gift of God, not works. So Jesus clearly taught that we're saved by grace through faith in him, not of works. And so a multitude of people, three young men, asking them out there handing out lunches. These men were out there, young men were out there handing out lunches to people. And so they figured that by doing good deeds, by not doing bad things, they're good enough to get to heaven. But clearly, that was just by faith in the Son of God that worked atonement on Calvary's cross. Because it's Jesus that we receive righteousness. It's through Jesus that he bore our sins. That not through our own righteousness, but through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. And if you're here today and you're listening, you have not received Jesus Christ, and your sins have not been forgiven, let me encourage you, put your faith and trust in Him. I appreciate you joining me today and glad that you tuned in to Evangelize for Life. Join me again tomorrow as we continue to discuss the importance of evangelizing all the world. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He turn His countenance towards you that you might be.
Never heard of Jesus.